Sorry. Start again.
I was mostly planning on listening about everybody else's.
Okay. Well, tell me a little bit about your project and what's going on.
I've got a little over 11,000 words. I've tried to stop making myself edit as I go, which is helping. I'm on chapter 10. I'll probably go back and fill in some more information in the other chapters as I think of things. But I've just kind of been going through a narrative of what's happened in the last year. And I haven't even got out of the nursing home yet. So, you know, I've got a long ways to go. But it's getting there.
Okay, well, good. Sounds like you're making some good progress. How often are you writing?
I try to write every day.
For how long?
At least a couple hours if I can do it. I wasn't making much progress, though, because I was editing everything. Now that I'm not doing that, I'm writing about 2,000 words a day since we had that conference call on Saturday.
That's great.
I had a few computer glitches, and we didn't have electricity last night for a while. Something happened with a transformer or something. So I couldn't write as long as I wanted to last night, but I did get my 2,000 words in yesterday. So we're really close to it, right there at it.
That's awesome. I think that's great. 2,000 words a day is a big accomplishment, really. So congratulations.
Oh, thanks. I just want to finish it this time. I've started projects before and never finished them. You know, I want to make sure I finish this one.
Good for you. So that's what this is all about, not just starting but finishing. So good for you. I see somebody else joined us. Who called in?
Oh, it's Hannah. Hi.
Sorry about that. I had an issue with my dog, and I got on a few minutes late.
Well, that's okay. I'm a little late, too.
Well, I saw you were on, and then you left, so I just had emailed you. So, and it's Rebecca, right? Rebecca's on the line?
Yes.
Yeah. So we have Hannah and Rebecca, so we'll see if some other people join us. Hannah, did you have any questions for today? It's just like a regular, I mean, it's kind of like a regular Nonfiction Writers University call, except we're focused on the challenge. So,
Not at the moment, I don't. Yeah, not at the moment.
Tell us about your project and how it's going.
Well, I didn't have a chance to do much yesterday, and I'm planning on working later today. It's going. It's definitely going. I've been working again on the overview, you know, the outline, the chapters, because I find that's helping me to focus in on the little, you know, vignettes or little stories I'm trying to write. So that was just something new that I tried yesterday, and it's sort of like I'm filling in the gaps. So it's been helpful. And then also I started listening to and reading literature about the military and things of that sort, and looking at some of my photographs, and that's really been bringing back a lot of the memories, the experiences, and all of that has been extremely helpful in the writing.
That's great.
Yeah.
Great. And when you are writing, for how long are you writing?
Well, I did this. I did the 2-hour thing on Saturday. I don't know if I'll be able to join you in the next couple of weeks because I'm traveling again, and I'll only have a cell phone. But I will try. I usually can sit down and write without, you know, I do get up and stretch and breaks and all that, but I can sit for a couple of hours usually once I get into it. But sometimes I'm referring back to an earlier draft that I had started, and I think I mentioned I'm trying to piece them together. So it takes me a little bit longer maybe to do the actual flow writing, but I feel like I'm definitely making progress because of the challenge and because of the motivation and, you know, trying to work on it every day, even if it's a different amount of time every day. It's like, you know, inch by inch, eventually, hopefully I'll get there.
Right. Well, good. Good. So I'm glad you're plugging along.
Yeah.
People have joined us. So who just joined the call? There are two of you.
This is Barbara Parrish from Hesperia, California.
Hi, Barbara.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you. And somebody else joined you, I think.
It's Linda Handy from Indiana.
Hi, Linda. Okay, so I've checked in with Rebecca and with Hannah. So Barbara and Linda, do you want to check in and just tell me how your projects are going?
Okay, this is Barbara. we're talking on top of each other. Did you want to go first, Indiana?
Nope, you can go first.
Okay. I started writing one of my chapters that all of a sudden I realized I have two chapters that are basically going side by side, and I needed to put either all of it in one chapter or break it down a little bit. Now, this is with the nonfiction writing for my my watercolor book on color to value parallel. And so that was a big find yesterday. I was really amazed. But I've gotten into it so much right now that I'm really finding little things that I didn't quite have correct. So I'm excited. So what I did, I broke down the color for value. I broke it down into another chapter. And that's going to work out really well for me. So this is good.
Good. Awesome. So you also plugging right along.
Yeah, plugging along.
Yeah, good. And how often are you writing? For how long and how much work are you producing?
Well, I've got it set up from 7 to 9 every day except Saturday and Sunday. Those are my makeup days if I need them. Mm-hmm. And I write for about 2 hours, but sometimes it goes into 2.5 because not only am I writing, but I am designing and painting the examples that are going into the book. So I've got like a dual thing going on. And once I get involved in it and I'm in an area right now where there's no disruption. You know, once I turn off that phone, nobody can really get a hold of me. I'm sort of incognito. So that gives me a lot of where I can really step into my writing and have a complete time of organizing and doing. So I'm excited.
Good. Well, great. Sounds like you've got lots of momentum going.
I do, and I'm away from home right now. I'm in another area, and like I said, it's wonderful not to have any disruptions.
Yeah, that can make a huge difference.
Yeah, it does.
So, Linda, how about you?
I think I like how it's going. I'm not doing it every day. I'm doing about twice a week, and I'd say I'm averaging 3 to 4 hours on those days. And I've got about 1.5 chapters done. I can't say I like it, but it's a good experience, and I also feel that I've gotten bits and pieces of, you know, kind of surprising myself at some things that have been written. And I think the format of what I'm looking for will evolve and come. So I decided to just start, even though my research wasn't done, and I decided to just keep on moving and see what happens.
Good. And how? And what is it? What's the project you're working on?
The project I'm working on is just a small ebook, and it's all about changing. So it's I haven't decided a title yet, but just to give it something. I chose either Driven to Change or Moving Forward Together. So I kind of referred to it, both of them, because I just really don't have it made my mind up. But it's all about us being able to keep moving forward no matter what's going on in our lives and no matter what our addictions are, because there's going to be a chapter in there on addiction.
Okay, and is this going to be a full book, or is it a lead magnet, or what are you working on?
For now, I'm going to use it as a lead magnet, but I do plan on having it as a full book.
Okay, awesome. And you're writing how often and for how long?
A couple of times a week, and I would say I'm probably averaging about 8 hours.
Awesome. Good. Very good. So it looks like everybody's really plugging along. That's great. I think somebody else joined us. Who's that? 561 number?
Hi. Yeah, this is Elaine. I was late because I had to feed my dog. He doesn't eat without a spoon. So
having a little trouble hearing you.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, well, this is Elaine.
Yeah.
And sorry about being late because my
no
dog...
No problem. No problem. We
yeah, he doesn't eat people first. If I don't have a spoon with me. So, yeah, about the book, well, it was my first time to have virtual writing. I'm still adjusting with it because I am a lot more used to writing with background noise. So, but so far it's so good. It's good. And I was thinking that I just wanted to make it an ebook and then start. And then when I finished with it, I was wondering if I could start with something else in the same month.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the things we do is spin-offs. So, you know, if you have a chapter in there or two chapters in there and you want to elaborate, that always is a good way to do that.
Oh, yeah, but the one that I'm going to start off is a different one that is far from the topic that I'm about to finish.
Okay, then I don't understand the question. You asked if there was something you could do that was already...
No, I mean, like, when I finish with the first book that I'm writing right now, is it possible for me to write a different book that is far from, like, not a spin-off, a different book that is far from the topic that I just finished, like a different one, but on the same month?
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm totally following you, but you can, of course you can write about anything you like. The difference, the issue is only that you might have two totally different markets, and so since you need to be building platform, it becomes very difficult to build platform in more than one market. It's very time-consuming.
I see.
Okay. Okay, so let's open it up since we have quite a number more people on, and I see somebody, we might have somebody else who just joined us. So let's just open it up now for questions. I don't have anybody muted right now. If there's noise in the background, then you can hit *6 and then hit *6 again to unmute yourself. But right now, everybody's unmuted. So let's just take some questions, and as I explained, this is a little bit like a regular Nonfiction Writers University coaching call, except that we are focused on our nonfiction, you know, Write Nonfiction in November challenge projects and on productivity and that sort of thing, so, you know, actually getting the work done and your project. So who has a question for me? Oh, come on. You must have something. You don't have one about your project or about the challenge, and just ask anything about writing, nonfiction, building platform, publishing. Everything's free game here.
Nina, this is Hannah.
This is who? I'm sorry?
Hannah again?
Yeah, hi, Hannah.
I have a back-end question. I know it's premature to ask this, but when we get to the end or very close to the end, are you going to give us some ways to stay motivated to then figure out where we're going to go next? So, for example, if I feel I've completed my draft and I can't write anymore, then what is the next step and then the step after that, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, that's a good question, Hannah. And I will likely have two programs going on in December. One will be the High Performance Writer, and that is about basically leveling yourself up as a writer in every area. And I know, I think you were on the call that I did for the university about high performance.
Yeah.
So we'll be going through 12 sessions as a group to level up. But in terms of specifics for publishing, you know, and working with your manuscript and all of that, what I will likely do is give you another option for a 4-week group coaching that where you can keep asking those kind of questions and being accountable for continuing to work.
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah, that would help us keep going for those of us who need that help. Okay,
yeah.
I look forward to that.
Okay, awesome. Right. Other questions?
I don't understand. I know this is going to sound stupid to everybody, but what is the, what did you mean by lead magnet, Lego?
Okay, so do you have a website?
I'm working on it. I haven't got it finished.
Okay, so one of the most important things on your website is giving something away for free. So what we call people who buy things from us, including our books, or even, you know, people who are going to come to our website often and read our blogs, we call these leads. You know, it's kind of like a sales term, right, that, you know, we're always looking for leads. But leads are you know, could be someone to buy your book, or it could be someone to buy a product or service from you. So the term lead magnet comes from that, that you want to have something for free you're giving away on your site to get people to sign up for your mailing list. Nobody will just get on a mailing list to get a newsletter unless the newsletter is highly, highly beneficial, valuable. So these lead magnets are also called ethical bribes. I don't really like that term that much. Basically, you know, you're giving away something in return for the email address. So it's kind of a bribe, but it's ethical. You're giving them something, they give you something, and they can always unsubscribe. If you're using an email marketing system like MailChimp or AWeber, there's always an unsubscribe, you know, button at the bottom, so they can get what they want, and then if they don't want to stay subscribed, you know, they can unsubscribe. But hopefully what you're doing is that you are sending them blog posts or emails that are of value to them, so they want to stay on your list. Your email list is your probably your most powerful platform element, because these are people who are opting in to have you contact them. So they're saying, I want you to contact me. I want you to tell me what you have going on. And so, you know, I want to learn from you. So this is how we build a mailing list, is what we call a lead magnet. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah, and you know, you see them everywhere, right? People are constantly giving something away on their website. There are pop-ups. There, you know, it's for free e-books or resource lists or, you know, any number of things. So that's the idea. All right, other questions? Anything at all?
About how many words should a small email e-book be?
It can be, if you want to put it on Kindle, the recommendation is 4,000 to 5,000 words minimum. But that, and I would say if you're going to give something away for free, you probably want it to be, you know, like just a, if you're just doing a PDF that you're going to do to attract people to your mailing list, that could be, you know, 2,000 words or 1,000 words. It doesn't really matter as long as it has value. But if you're going to put it up on Kindle, the last I heard was it needed to be 4,000 to 5,000 words.
Okay.
Okay.
But it can be much longer than that, though. I mean, if you, I mean, like, I've already exceeded that. I'm not through.
Yeah, yeah. I have ebooks that are 35,000 words, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah, and think about it. My books, my full-length books, are over 50,000 words each, and they're all as, well, not the new book, but the other books, they're all Kindle books. So those are ebooks.
When they're talking about the pages on Kindle, are they talking about the regular pages you type, or are they smaller?
Typically, they don't talk so much about pages with ebooks because they flow.
Okay. I just wondered because I'll see, you know, it'll say in the description, it'll say it has so many pages. I just wondered if those were like full typing pages or something different.
No, it's probably some average that they are doing. I'm just going to look at one of mine to see what it says about pages.
I think one of yours says 60, because I looked at some of yours yesterday.
All right, hold on. I'm going to look at Authorpreneur, because that was the first one that popped up for me. Yeah, so 85 pages on this one. Let me see if I can tell you how many words it is, and then we could do a calculation. So hang on. Sorry, I have to find it. Just a second.
No problem.
Close. Okay, so that one said it was about 85 pages. And hold on, it's calculating. It's about 21,000 words. So let me see. 1,000. Yeah, so they're going with a little less. So typically if we're talking about manuscript pages, we figure they have about 275 words and they're double-spaced. So with 2,100, if I do a calculation and divide by 275, I come up with 76 pages. But there could be resources in the book or whatever, you know? I mean, there's a whole design element.
Right.
But let's see, 2,100. 21,000 divided by 250. Yeah, if you divide by 250, which is also not a not too far off from a normal manuscript page, double spaced, I get 84 pages. So that gives you some idea. 21,000 words, and you get about 85 pages.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Hope that helps. All right, other questions?
I have a question. This is Linda.
Uh-huh.
About PDFs. And I want to say ebooks because a lot of people market them as ebooks, not necessarily Kindle. So when you sign in, you get whatever they have for ebooks. And many of them have pictures all through there. And that was not something I was even thinking about, because I was thinking more in regards to like a regular ebook. You don't have pictures unless you're doing some form of demonstration to make your info a little bit clearer. So what are your thoughts? Are they moving more towards using pictures and PDFs and just words and Kindle? Like, how should we set it up if we just want it as a lead magnet?
So if you are doing it as a lead magnet and as a PDF, you can use photos however you like, because photos, you know, or illustrations, whatever, any kind of graphics can be put in there without any problem, because you're controlling the page, right? You're controlling the design. The problem with Kindle books is that they it's a constant flow. And so it's very hard to get the images to stay where they're supposed to be. You know, it becomes a design problem. And so while there are some Kindle books that have a lot of graphic images in them, there are many that do not, because of the fact that sorry, I have to do something for my dog who's bothering me. So a lot of people stay away from images in the Kindle books because it just becomes a graphic issue because of the way the Kindle books flow. But if you're making a PDF, you can do whatever you want. And some people will do very elaborate designs with lots of graphics, and other people it's just words. So it's up to you.
Okay, what do you think is the preference?
I don't know if there's a preference. I guess every person is different. If you look at like the ebooks that I offer as lead magnets on my sites, there aren't a lot of graphics in them. It's mostly content. I make a cover, you know, so I create a nice cover. But other than that, I don't use graphics. And that's partially because, you know, I'm usually moving fast, and I just want to get it done.
Right.
So, you know, putting in lots of pictures is nice, but depending on how you do it, can end up looking like a bunch of blog posts.
Right.
And, you know, and it's time-consuming to find them. So this is, you know, when you say preference, yeah, for me, I just want to provide value and get it out there. And so if I spend a lot of time on photos or images, it's going to take me a lot longer and might be more valuable, but on the other hand, maybe not. Maybe it's just me spending a lot of time putting in images.
Okay.
So I decide whether it's going to really benefit them to have the images there.
Right. I received one from someone who's well-known, and I just kind of saw it as fillers. But I thought maybe I was just being negative, so I just wondered, you know, is that the direction that the market is going in? Because it's not something I like, but if that's the direction that they're going in, then it's something that needs to be looked at.
Mm-hmm. So I think if you're doing a PDF, I mean, there is something to be said for a nice design and maybe some graphics because it's just a PDF, right? I mean, it would get printed out, it would look like just a bunch of pages. On the other hand, if people want value, they're more interested in that. They're more interested in what you have to say than the illustrations.
That makes
sense.
I mean,
if you do something about left brain, right brain, and, you know, you put in an illustration of left brain, right brain with some information on it, that's beneficial, right? That's supportive. If it's
right.
just pictures to make it look pretty, then you just have to ask yourself, you know, what you're going for, what's your purpose is with that.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. All right, other questions? We have a few new people who have only been on for a little bit. Anybody want to chime in, talk about your project? No. Well, coaching
Hi,
is all
Nina.
About asking me questions so I can support you. You're not asking
Hi,
questions.
Hi, Nina.
Support. Hi, who's this?
It's Lee. Thank you very much for sending me that backup number. I appreciate it.
Nope.
I just want to say thanks so much for making this available. I'm just barely getting started. I had done the outline for a book based on alphabet and a formula some time ago after reading your book on how to blog your book.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into the call just when you were talking about, I think, 21,000 words for 85 pages. So would you say like 250 words a page would be about kind of norm? And if that's the case, then and if I wanted to do like the blog your book type idea, that I would then do 250 words approximately per blog in order to be able to get it into the book form? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So usually when I'm calculating, like let's say I wanted to say how many pages I thought my book would be when it
right.
was finished, I will take the word count and multiply by 275, so not 250. Kindle is obviously going with 250, you know, something closer to 250. So, yeah, it's in that range. It depends on, you know, your writing and all of that. But that's the thing that you have a double-spaced page with no spaces between paragraphs, and you're using Times New Roman in 12-point, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you don't have headings, and there's a lot to factor in. But that's approximately right. And
when you say 75 word count, are you counting every character in space, or is it actual words, or is it words based on five spaces?
No, it's words. Like if you were using Microsoft Word, you would just go up to Tools and click on Word Count, and it would give you the words.
Okay.
So,
okay.
The length of your blog posts. Google used to, so if you have the first edition of my book, How to Blog a Book,
yeah.
I can't remember, but it might say in there that you only need to write 200 words. There's a Google algorithm that's always changing, and these days the recommended length on the short side of a blog post is 300 words. So that's a little more than, you know, than one page of content.
Okay.
I recommend that you do between 300 and 500 words. It can be very difficult to provide enough value, I think, in 300 words. So
right.
I always, you know, I would aim for when I was blogging how to blog a book, I was aiming for only 200 words, you know, or 300 words because that's what the algorithm
sure.
wanted. But I usually wrote longer than that. I don't recommend super long because then you're not producing as many blog posts, and so
right.
you're not getting as many readers and not getting the Google status, all that stuff. So
right.
I would probably be aiming in that, you know, sort of 400 to 500 range. Typically for me, if I'm trying to write short, like let's say I don't have a lot of time and I want to get a blog post out.
Yeah.
When I hit 300 words, I'm like, okay, cool, I have enough, but I'll write a little bit more. And so I usually end up at least 500 words. But that's just
okay.
me, but that's
right.
usually where what I'm aiming for.
Well, you did write the book, right?
Yeah.
So then, shoot, one more question, please. I kind of work well with formulas. in my head, that's just how my brain functions. What is your feeling about books that are written on a very clear formula for people to, like, as far as reception from an audience?
What do you mean by formula?
Well, I have, I want to base it on alphabet and on a particular topic, a way of being, and looking at, and also looking at the alliteration things. So, for example, using a noun and a verb together and then talking about that. So it's just, I'm being a little bit coy right now because I don't want to talk about it a whole lot, but I'm basically talking about having, well, no, I won't be coy. I'm talking about writing a book about contentment and I'm wanting to put it together in such a way that I can keep it really focused, but also have it so that I don't, so that there's going to be a predictable amount of information about each of the different subjects related to that that I come up with.
Okay, so you'd have something like the ABCs
of
contentment, and then you'd have, you know, like A is for appreciation.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Like be appreciative or something like that. I think
something
that's
like
fine.
Yeah.
It gives the book a nice structure, and yeah, I don't know that. Maybe it turns some people off, but I think basically you have to find a structure for your book that works. And if
right.
it works for the book, it's probably going to work for the readers, right? Because you just every book has to have a structure. And so you have to find something that's going to allow you to present your material in a logical manner. But if it
right.
becomes construed, that's when it doesn't work. So, yeah, if you have the ABCs
right.
of contentment and you get to X and Z and you don't know what to do and so you know, make something crazy that makes no sense,
right?
Then it's not working. Then it's like, okay, get rid of the ABCs and just stick with, you know, some, you know, alter your structure a little bit.
So then that leads me to my next question, if I may, please.
Yeah.
I have a tendency to not read things linearly. I'm probably, you know, my brain is well connected with the internet. It's like awesome because I can jump all over the place. So I also don't have a tendency to write very linearly. I tend to sort of jump in where I know and then I'll go around from that. So in thinking about in terms of writing the book, I can't start at A and go to Z. I need to kind of, I've been hauling around this little journal as things pop into my head, I write them down. And what is your feeling about if it's a blogged book, it like putting it out that way and then also asking people to provide input? Okay, well, nothing's been done for W yet. What are your ideas? Maybe we're not going to use it, but maybe it'd be good. Do you know what I mean? Make it kind of an interactive experience.
Yeah. The thing is that, you know, a blog book, the wonderful thing about it is you can interact with actual readers of your book.
Yeah.
If you're going to do ABCs, then I'd be blogging from A to Z. I wouldn't be jumping around. But if you have an audience even on social media, you could be asking, you know, saying I'm doing something, you know, about contentment and I'm using the ABCs. Does anybody have any ideas? For double.
Oh, yeah, and then gather that up and then blog it all out once you've got it all.
Yes.
Or got enough of it.
The thing is, if you do the ABCs and your blog is going from A to Z, then if you don't have a W, it's going to seem a bit odd. On the other hand, remember that you need to leave 20% or 25% off the blog. What are you going to leave off with that structure?
Especially, yeah, that's right. Exercises, maybe?
Yeah?
I don't know. I have to think
about
that.
You just want to have really something that's going in the e-book or in the printed book that's different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And do remember that if you plan to make this into an e-book, that not, I don't know if you have the old edition or the new edition, but in the new edition of How to Blog a Book, it talks about how you can't do Kindle Select. You can do Kindle, but not Kindle Select.
Why is that?
Because Kindle Select is are making your book exclusive for a certain amount of time on Kindle. So it can't be an iBook, it can't be a Nook, it can't be anything. It can only be a Kindle book. And because if the material is on your blog, they're going to tell you to shut down your blog or to get rid to delete all the material. And then you waste all that time, you know, all that time you spent building your platform and readership, you lose it.
So
yeah, I don't like really being told what to do, so I probably wouldn't go that route.
Okay, well, I'm not a big fan of Kindle Select. My e-books are the majority of them that are on Kindle, not quite all of them, but most of them are done, or at least done in the last couple of years, have been done via my agent, my literary agent, because they do assisted self-publishing for me.
Right.
So they were also against Kindle Select because of, you know, the exclusivity issues, author rights, but they, in the last 6 months, have decided to give it a whirl and see how it works. And,
oh, okay.
So I've had a couple books that were for free, you know, and that kind of thing. But and that's what people like about Kindle Select is that they can offer their book for free, get reviews. People say that then they get a spike in sales. I didn't see a spike in sales when it stopped being free. So
okay.
me, it's like, you know, and if I don't get reviews, then it's not, I mean, it's a good promotion, but it's not really giving me sales or reviews, which is what I need.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say about exposure. It can kill you.
So,
thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about it, but you just need to keep that in mind when you blog a book.
Sure. Thank you so much, and good luck to everybody else that's on the call.
Yeah, okay. And you're welcome to ask another question if nobody has one. Everybody was kind of quiet, so let me see where everybody is at this point. Anybody else have a question? We spurred some thoughts, and maybe somebody has another question.
I have a question.
Okay, who's this?
Lelaine.
Hi, Lelaine.
Yes. Do you use a specific software to turn it into a PDF or to write, I mean, for the format of the whole book, or do you just use Microsoft Word?
So I actually use I use Word most often. I also use Scrivener, but so with Word you can actually just go to the menu and turn it into a PDF. The problem I have found with Word, and it may be because I have an older version, is that it doesn't always make the links live. So I very often, when I had a PC, I used a program that was free called, I think it's called Qt PDF. Hold on. Yeah, QtPDF.com. And you can download it, and it worked really well. And I'm pretty sure it was free. Hold on, I'm clicking there to see.
It is free, Nina. I have it myself. This is Lee here.
PDF editor. That's what I remembered. I don't know. Is it? Can you get it for the Mac, Lee? Do you know?
What was that?
Does it work on a Mac? Do you know?
I don't know. I've got PC.
Yeah. So I have a PC. So anyone who has a PC, you can definitely use it there. I'm trying to see whether you can use it on a Mac. But the other thing is that there are free PDF converters online, and there's one that I use a lot. See what it is. Free PDF. There are a bunch of them. Some don't work as well as others. The one that I use most often is. Hold on, I have to look at it to see if this is it. Yes, it's called Free PDF Convert, convert.com. And it works really well. The only thing is if you do it and then you look at your PDF and there was a mistake, you have to wait like 30 minutes or 20 minutes or something before you can do it again.
Okay, because I read somewhere because I was looking for that. Because I've already seen what could be the pros and cons by using just the Word. But then there was also this article that I stumbled on. It's saying that I could also use Adobe InDesign because it has an option to format the book for you, and then you just put your content on it, and then it's just preparing everything for you. It's just ready. I don't know if it's good or if anybody has heard of it.
Adobe InDesign is very good. It's not as easy to use as some other things, and you know, so I wouldn't recommend. And the thing is, you're going to pay. You're going to, I mean, you have to either buy the program or, well, actually, now that I think all that you can do is rent it. Like, you know, you go online and you actually pay per month to use it.
Okay. But is there any font, like, that you would recommend that we use?
For your ebook?
Good. Yeah.
If you're going to do that, what you're talking about is you want to turn it into a, you want to turn your manuscript into an ebook. Is that correct? And put it like up on Kindle?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So what I suggest for that is that you use Joel Friedlander's templates. He has templates that go from Word to ebook and Word to printed book. And if you go to my website, write nonfictionnow.com.
Okay.
And scroll down, and underneath there are a bunch of images of my books. I mean, it says new release, and it has creative visualization for writers. And if you keep scrolling down, you're going to see kind of a black box or gray box, and it says book design templates. Click there.
Okay.
And what you're getting are Microsoft Word documents that are set up to look. Basically, Joel is a book designer, and he took some of his better designs, and he created templates out of them, so you get the fonts and all that.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a designer. I can't tell you what font to use, but
okay.
Joel knows.
Yeah.
So I would use his PDFs and then or his templates, and I think then you just upload to Amazon.
I see. Oh, yeah, I saw it. It's good.
Okay, so yeah, so just click there, and that's going to take you to his site, and then you can look at a bunch of the different templates.
Okay, yeah, he has it. It's really good.
Yeah, I mean, there are a bunch of toolkits, you know, like there's even, we have a blogging one I did with him, but what you're looking for are actually just the templates for book design. I'm trying to see where they are on his site. Book templates. At the very top, when you get there, it says toolkits, bookstore planning, book templates.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I would do.
For the cover, did you make it on your own? Or did you hire somebody to make
it for
you?
Not all of them. No. Now, you got to remember, book covers are enormously important. Your book can fail with a lousy book cover. So if you don't have design skill, you need to hire someone. And don't hire someone on Fiverr.com. I've heard this advice. Yes, you can get a cover on Fiverr. If you're going to put it up on Kindle, get a professional cover done. If you're going to do it as a PDF, and you want to get someone from Fiverr, okay, not as, you know, I can go with that. But there's some people at Upwork.com who are professional designers, and, you know, you can get a cover there for a reasonable amount of money. But, you know, I've paid as little as $200 for a cover. So, you know, the cover is really important. I have designed a few of my covers, and the reason why is because I have a design background. When I went to college, we were required to learn design. So, you know, can I do it? Yeah. Is it the perfect? No. Is it the best? No. So I wouldn't do it for a book I was going to put up on Kindle.
Okay. Because I actually do web development and graphic design for a living. So I was wondering if I should go to a minimalistic design or something else. So I guess I can just worry about that later.
Well, right, and I would just think about it because graphic design is not always the same as book cover design. Website design is not the same as book cover design. That doesn't mean you can't do it. You have a design background, so.
Yeah, I know it, but I
would
just
I'd be studying. Joel Friedlander has. I don't know if he's still doing it, but he used to do every month he did a book cover contest, and he would have all these different designers, you know, he'd feature their work. And so you can go to thebookdesigner.com and see whether he's still doing that, or just look at his archives, and you'll be able to look at good book cover design.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay?
I'll try that. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions? We've got another 7-8 minutes. No questions? Anybody struggling with getting their writing done during November?
Yes, 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 and yes again.
Is this Lee?
But, yes, that's me, Lee.
So let's talk about
that.
Yeah,
I am.
This is supposed to
huh?
be, let's talk about that for a minute, because this is supposed to be a coaching session to help everybody write, and I'm sure whatever you're struggling with will help others as well. So are you willing to tell me what's causing you to struggle?
Well, sure. It's the middle of the day. It's probably past the middle of the day. I'm standing here still in my bathrobe, and I'm packaging up things because I've got orders to put out for my business. And it's interesting because I'm in the business of helping others be content, and I want to be content as well, and I am, but my big struggle is finding the right time to do it. I had this idea that it would be okay, I would be getting up early in the morning and doing it then, because I'm an early morning kind of person. But good problem to have. I've got a lot more business to handle than I expected. So that time really seems to be a big crunch for me. But maybe then you would say, well, Lee, it's just you got to make it a priority, right?
Well, that's one part of it, is how badly do you want to do it? Do you have a big why attached to getting this book done?
I do, and I also have a lot of fear around it, I must confess.
So the fear is the biggest thing that's going to stop you. Talk about that in a second. Right now, I want you just think about, so you have more business than you would normally, but you were going to set aside time in the morning to write. Are you getting up earlier to write and instead packaging orders?
That would probably be fair to say.
So what's happened is you've blocked time to write, but you're not using it to write. You're saying,
right.
Oh, look, I have more business. If you had more business and you didn't plan to write, would you just get up at the normal time and still handle the excess business?
No, I couldn't. No, I'm at a point right now where things are scaling, and it's scaling faster than I had expected, but I did expect it to. I just, you know what I mean? Like, it's like watching a train coming toward you, and you're just not sure what's happening. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, my goodness, it's right here. So I guess it I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses.
What could you do? So it sounds to me like you're at a point with your business where maybe it's getting it's scaled up faster than you thought, but you're ready to get some help.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair to say, Nina. Just today as I was doing it, I was like, holy liftin', this is really starting to go, and which is awesome because I've been working at it now more than 3 years and really hard. I did two things. One thing was I got in touch with a boxing company, and I'm waiting for a quote from them because I spent a lot of time today literally assembling boxes and sticking labels on them. You know, that's not a very effective use of my time. And also, it popped into my head to call this guy that I think I can train to, that I'm interested in talking to anyway, to train to do a lot of what it is that I do, at least start that.
Yeah.
I also just recently hired someone full-time who's about 2 hours away from me, so I'm busy ramping up getting stuff to her for her. It's soap and laundry powder and stuff like that I do. So it was great to bring her on in terms of sales, and I'm like, oh, my God, but there's the production angle of it. Right. Oh, okay.
Okay, so I would just know that right now, you know, until you get somebody in, you're going to have to handle this. But we all have periods in our life when we are doing more than we would normally do, maybe more than what makes us totally happy, but we just do it. So just know this is one of those times. And if the book is important to you, you have to find a time for it. So you're just going to have to find a good time, block out that time, and make it sacred. So let's talk for a minute, though, before we end the call, about the fear. So what's your fear about writing the book?
Oh, my God. that it'll be successful, I guess. in a way. I've stopped worrying that people are going to laugh at me about stuff. Like, I put videos out on Facebook, and the response is always really great. Or it's not, and I can tell if it's not because that's a day that I was really tired, right, and that I did it and my energy wasn't great.
Right.
So I think I don't have any fear about being made a fool of, because people will either like it or they won't. And I find that people are generally kind. They're not wanting to poke fingers at you, right? But I think when I really think about it, I think it's probably a fear of success more than anything. And then what do I do with that? But I want that success. Does that? It's so contradictory.
Now, most of us fear success more than we fear failure. Much
right.
Even though we don't think so, that is usually the biggest fear. So what's the biggest? What would be the worst thing that would happen if you were successful?
Oh, that's a really good question. I never thought about that part of it.
Okay, so answer it.
Oh, sorry for roaring into the phone with my laugh. It's really loud. I scare babies. What would be the worst thing that would happen?
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe the worst thing that would happen would be that I can't think of a worst thing. Maybe I would have less time to... I can't think of a worst thing, because if it's really, really successful, then that will allow me to have more people to help me. That will allow me to just have the confidence to go on and do more of it and therefore create contentment. I'm not trying to be coy about this, but I don't know that there can be a downside to it being successful. Maybe less privacy, perhaps. I don't know.
So think about how right now you are busy.
Uh-huh.
With work.
Yeah.
Is there a fear of being too busy?
I am becoming tired. I am tired, but I'm determined to continue on with my business and see it through. I spoke with my accountant recently, and she said, "Do you have the strength?" And I said, "Yes, I do," you know, to get it to the 4 or 5 years type of thing. What's the biggest downside of it being a success? I don't know, Nina. I think I need some help on that one, because honest to God, I can't think of one, except for perhaps, you know, less privacy or whatever.
Okay, so less privacy. So it's not about being too busy.
No, I'm busy is good for me. Busy is good for me. It would be one of the benefits would be busier doing the things that are more in my genius kind of spot, right? Like, I'm good at figuring out how to do things, and then I am also good at teaching other people how to do them so they can go off and do them. But I have that financial lack of capital to have that person I can teach right now. Although, as we discussed, I think I will be bringing someone in to at least get started on that.
You were the one who brought up fear. So
yeah.
So close your eyes and take a deep breath. And when you ask yourself, what am I afraid of when it comes to my book, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
I don't know, but it must be emotional because it just made me want to cry.
Okay, so if you did know, you did know the answer to that question. If you did know what you were afraid of, what would you say?
If I did know?
Yeah. If you did know what you were afraid of, what would it be?
I guess that it would really change my life. And I think it might be one of those self-limiting things.
How would it change your life?
I don't know. I work really, really hard, and I always have worked really, really hard. And I don't mind working hard, but I would like to have to not struggle so much financially. Does that make any sense at all?
Yes. So are you afraid that the change would be that you would have enough money, or that somehow the book would... would be a lot of effort and not bring in the money, or are you afraid that suddenly you will have the money?
Maybe I'm afraid that I will.
And what would that mean? How would that change?
I guess that would give me more choice. Perhaps.
Is
more
that
flexibility.
Scary? Is having more is having more choice scary?
Maybe it is, because it's not as well, actually, I have a lot of choice now because I'm an entrepreneur, right? So you have the choice to succeed or fail. I don't know, but I'm looking at what my reaction is to this conversation. I'm like, wow, I've got to take a walk on the beach.
Only if you're thinking about this. I think I said only if you're thinking about this conversation.
That's
otherwise,
I
want you to sit down with a journal and continue, ask yourself over and over again, what am I afraid of? When it comes to writing a book and publishing a book, what am I afraid of? And then each one of the fears that comes up, what you need to do is say, and if this happened, what would that mean? You know, so this thing that I'm afraid of, if it actually showed up in my life, what would happen? Because here's the thing. Our fears are not real. They are thoughts about future potentialities that may never happen. But we start thinking in negative ways about the future. So real fear is a mountain lion chasing you or a Mack truck coming straight at your car.
Right.
That is real fear.
Tangible and physical.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
You're physically in danger.
Yeah.
That is real fear. What we call fear is us thinking about a possible future that may never happen that we don't want. The problem is the more we think about it, the more we create it, because that's where we're focusing our thoughts. So you have to focus your thoughts on what you want, not on what you don't want. We have to unhinge that by actually looking at what we don't want and saying, oh, well, it really wouldn't be that bad. Would it really be that bad if I suddenly had a lot of money, or if I suddenly was famous and so I had a little less privacy? And would I really have less privacy, or could I control that privacy?
Yeah, and as I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking that doesn't worry me. I think, honest to God, I just keep thinking, I try to be really aware of my thoughts, and I think, and I am truly thinking more than anything else, it's just there's some element in my brain that says I can't do it, that I just don't have the ability to do it, when all I need to do is just simply do it.
But that's what Write Nonfiction November is about to a huge extent, is proving that you can do it.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to really encourage you to carve out the time and just, you know, and make sure you write every day. The fear of not being able to do it is the age old, I'm not good enough, you know, I fail, that kind of thinking. And you want to shift that. And one way to shift that is to take action and actually just do it so that you prove to yourself. The late Stuart Wilde used to call them affirmations of action.
Right. Well, I'm just going to say right now I'm standing in my studio. I am surrounded by dozens and dozens and dozens of things that I've created with my hands that other people take with their hands and make themselves feel content. And the amount of people, maybe this is what I need to tell myself, the amount of people that were doubtful that I could do this, and my kids, bless their hearts, they had a little telephone conference, Mom's going to make soap. You know, I'd left a really good job and I was going to go make soap, right? And yet I've created this company that is sending stuff all over the place. So maybe I just need to remind myself about that, eh?
Yes, and it sounds to me like you have a mission.
I do.
And this
I
is,
do.
Keep in mind, tell yourself it is my mission to help people feel more content. And while my soap does a decent job of that, my book could be really powerful and have a huge impact on people's lives. And so I need to write my book.
Thanks.
And what Tony Robbins says is, you know, what we can't do, we must do. So if you feel like I can't do it, then it's time to make yourself do it, to say, I have to do this. I must.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're only 1 week into the month.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you won't finish the whole thing in 30 days, but you could.
Well,
you could.
That's three times seven. That's only 2,100 words.
Well, let's just say, I mean, I don't care about the word count. If you're talking about blog posts, or were you talking about a blog post per ABC, per letter?
Well, I was, and because I had originally read your book, Blog Your Book, because I was like, oh, there, that'd be a way. And of course, I read that a year and a half ago, right, or a year ago. And then I put it aside. I did use it to start my formula and so on. And that I have maintained. I have a book that I put all of my notes down in. I've got little post-its everywhere, and my husband and I'll be driving. I'm like, write this down now before it escapes my head. So I've got the basis to start with. That I've got.
So here's the thing. 26 letters in the alphabet, 500 words per blog post, at a minimum, 13,000 words. So let's just say
And I was going to do three for each alphabet letter.
What if you did two this month and the third one was what you add to the book later?
Oh, you're smart. That's a great idea.
This is my business.
Yeah.
And high-performance coaching, which is some of what I was doing with you, and now just author coaching. So 20,000 divided by 21 more days. No, 30 days. Well, I'm just doing.
That's a brilliant idea because then there's the value add with the book.
So, and you have 23 days divided by 23. You need to write all of 870 words per day.
Okay.
You can do that.
Starting tomorrow or starting today?
Starting, well, tomorrow, but why don't you just do it today? I mean, I did 23 days.
Okay.
So start today.
Okay.
Make yourself write between 750 and 900 words. Basically, that's, you know, two blog posts of about 500 words.
Yeah.
Can you do that? Will you commit to that?
Yep.
Okay. There
I
you
just
have
did.
It.
How many people are on this call?
We have more. We've lost a few. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people right now.
All right, then. That's 6 people that have heard me say that out loud.
Yeah. So everybody who's there, will you hold her to this?
You bet.
Okay, so Lee, this is what you're going to do.
Dear.
Go to the Nonfiction Writers University.
Yeah.
And you're going to type in there, I, Lee McFarlane, commit to writing, you know, two blog posts. So you don't have to worry so much about the word count. Just say two blog posts every day.
Yeah.
And producing, you know, if you want, you can say producing between, you know, 750 and 1,000 words.
Yeah.
And then what you do is you show up there every day. And you comment on your blog, on your post there, and say, today I did this many words. You put in the date, and you make yourself accountable to the group.
All right, then.
Okay.
Okie doke.
And then everyone who is on this call, when you see her posting there, you need to give her a thumbs up, okay?
Thank you. Yeah, a little bit of encouragement is great.
Okay. Barbara's on there some, so everybody who's on this call, will you give her a little thumbs up when you see it?
Sure.
Awesome.
Thank you all.
You're welcome. So thank you for sharing. I think that was an important conversation for everybody. And
right.
See the importance of coaching. You know, really, you can see the importance of coaching because we don't know what we don't know.
Oh, yes, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and your issue of fear, Lee, and I'm not picking on you because we all have them, okay?
No, but go for it.
That kind of issue is why I became a certified high-performance coach. Now, I can do that in an author coaching session as well, but by taking people through the high-performance the 12 sessions can actually help you get help you move through these things in a lot of different areas so
right.
that you are becoming more productive and fulfilling your purpose and your mission. So that's
right.
why I did that. The author coaching, that's I'm not downplaying that at all. I mean, a lot of the questions we had tonight about book covers and lead magnets and page counts and all those kind of things, those are important too. But
sure.
if you don't move through your fears and your negative thoughts, you will not write. The
yeah.
other stuff won't matter. It
yeah.
won't matter.
Yeah. I have wanted to be an author for as long as I can remember.
So now is the time.
Okay, then. Alrighty.
All right.
Bless so, you all, and thank you so much, Nina, for making this possible.
You're welcome, and thank you for sharing, Lee. That was really important. I'm glad that you...
My pleasure, indeed.
Okay. Yes. Anyone have anything else we need to deal with before we hang up? Okay, then. So I wish you all much luck till the next coaching session. There is not a virtual writing session until the end of the month. But there were some people who went on the Facebook group and said they are going to do one. So please join them, okay? And
when is the next coaching session, Nina?
Next coaching session is...
Please.
The 14th. Oh, no, wait, no. Oh, wait, I have a document. I just created a document a while ago. Hang on just a second. Hold on. Let me look at my calendar more carefully. It is. I think noon on the 15th. Yeah.
On the 15th.
Yeah, the date and the time change every week because there we have people in so many different places. So, yes, noon
okay.
on the 15th.
Okay. There's none on the 21st or the 22nd, is there? I'm hoping not.
Yes. We have one on the 21st at 4 p.m.
At 4 p.m. Pacific?
Yes.
Awesome. I'll be able to participate. That's great.
Yes.
I have a conference that day, so I just wouldn't want to miss this.
Okay. And then we have a final one on the 29th at 5 p.m. I'm trying to account for people on the West Coast and on the East Coast, you know, to get some of them
yeah.
out of working time, right?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, thank you so much,
stop,
and thank you
so
to everybody. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you all for being here. I appreciate it. I wish you much luck in the next week. I hope you will attend the next session if you can. Happy writing, and go out there and achieve more inspired results. Bye, everyone.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.